Welcome to Sports Med Rez's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. This past week's most popular post on sportsmedrez.org discussed a study that found that using a preseason checklist with Little League baseball players may help determine which young athletes are at risk of developing elbow injuries. Little League elbow, epicondylitis, and osteochondrosis desiccans are just a few conditions that affect many young baseball players in the early years of their career. These conditions occur due to a number of different circumstances, including overuse, improper pitching mechanics, repetitive microtrauma to the elbow, and other causes. Identifying risk factors that contribute to injury would allow us to educate parents and coaches to assist in preventative efforts. Therefore, the purpose of this prospective cohort study was to use a risk evaluation checklist to predict injuries over the course of a season among young baseball players. The authors sent preseason checklists to 134 Little League baseball teams in Japan, and 955 Little League baseball players completed the preseason checklist. The athletes with their parents filled out a 20-question checklist pertaining to the athlete's pitching arm, baseball practices, mechanics, structure or flexibility of the elbow, pain, previous injuries, and other things. The athletes also sent back a follow-up survey 6 months after they completed the preseason checklist. In the follow-up survey, the athlete and parents recorded if the athlete sustained an injury during the season. An elbow injury was an injury to the dominant arm that required medical treatment. Overall, 389 athletes that were approximately 10 years of age completed the checklist and follow-up survey and had no existing elbow injuries during preseason. 53 athletes reported sustaining an elbow injury during the season. The authors found that athletes were more likely to sustain an elbow injury during the season if they reported during preseason that they 1. Experienced pain within the last 12 months, 2. Had a previous injury that required treatment, 3. Practiced more than 4 days per week, 4. Practiced individually 7 days per week, 5. Normally participate in games, or 6. Felt fatigue while playing. From these results, the authors created a 6-item checklist to assess the risk of elbow injuries, which may be used by youth baseball parents and coaches. Players who answer yes to 3 or more of these items had a higher injury rate than those who only answered yes to 2 or fewer. This study adds to the growing literature, which demonstrates excessive throwing contributes to elbow injuries. It is extremely important that coaches and athletes adhere to limiting the number of pitches to help prevent injuries in young athletes due to the forces put on the athlete's arm and fatigue caused by throwing if not properly managed. This checklist can be used by athletic trainers and other sports medicine clinicians working with young baseball players to determine if an athlete is prone to an elbow injury during the season. It is also a simple enough tool that it can be used by coaching staffs, parents, and others involved in youth athletics before the season starts to assist in prevention. It will be helpful to see if this checklist works well in other populations, such as older baseball players and players from other countries. Creating pitching limits and developing maintenance programs to prevent fatigue and stress from throwing is pivotal. This past week, we also had one other post on sportsmedrez.org. That's res.org. This post described the study that found that only 58% of concussed children were managed according to recommended guidelines, and 13% returned to play while symptomatic. Additionally, 93% of parents and 96% of players were unaware of their organization's return to play guidelines following a concussion. Don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. For example, this past week, our social media posts included a study that found that a 2D mobile application had excellent reliability and was responsive method to assess for clinical change. The author suggested that the 2D app may be used as an alternative to a sophisticated 3D motion analysis system for assessing knee and ankle motion. However, it does not appear to be a good alternative for assessing hip motion. If you have a question that you'd like us to address on this podcast, send us a message via social media. And remember, you can always follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.